Well, please turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 on page 78 in our church Bibles. Verse 15. The eighth commandment. You shall not steal. Have you ever had something stolen from you? Perhaps you know what it feels like. You go out to the car, somebody has broken into it. You return home, the place has been emptied. You feel violated. Or you get a phone call from your bank. You realize somebody has access to your finances. All of a sudden you're getting bills for things that you didn't buy. You have to start to negotiate it and explain all of that. If you start thinking about it, stealing is such a big issue in our day. That so much of our life is focused on protecting our belongings and our possessions. Many of you this evening will have in your pockets or your bags a little bunch of keys to protect people, prevent people from stealing. We have locks on our doors. We have locks on our windows. We maybe have a fence around our garden. We maybe have a burglar alarm, a security light, maybe a neighbourhood watch system, car alarm. We have PIN codes. We have security codes. We have usernames. We have password upon password upon password. We have ID cards. We have CCTV cameras. We have security guards in the shops. There are tags on items in shops. There are those alarm systems on the way in and out of the shops that go off if you take something without paying for it. There are those locked glass cabinets behind which the really expensive stuff stays. There are dogs specifically trained to be guard dogs. The whole point of all these things is to keep people from stealing. The fact that we have a bunch of keys is proof that we live in a fallen world. Martin Luther said in his day that if they took all the people who were stealing and hung them, they would run out of rope and they would need to start using men's belts to hang the rest of the thieves. It was such a prevalent problem. And in our day, surely, of technology and cyber crime, it's only multiplied the amount of ways that people can steal one from the other. That's not the way the world is supposed to be. When God made this world, it was all very good. It was without sin. And all of this stealing and all of the countermeasures that we have, they are the result of sin, the fall, the curse. And so it just boggles the mind, doesn't it, that certain people will say, "Oh well, people are basically good in their hearts. People are basically good." No, they're not. No, they're not. Leave your door unlocked. Go away on holidays. Leave your door unlocked for a while. See what happens. Bring your car to the middle of Newton Arch. Leave it unlocked. See what happens. People are not basically good in their hearts. They're sinners with self-interests in their hearts that compels them to steal. Here's my question for you this evening. What have you stolen? What have you stolen? Or from whom have you stolen? Stealing is taking something without permission that does not belong to you. Taking something without permission that does not belong to you. What have you stolen? If something's not rightfully yours and you take it, that's stealing. Let's look at four things about stealing this evening. Firstly, stealing is wrong. Stealing is wrong. There are many reasons why stealing is wrong, but I want to highlight just two this evening. It's wrong, firstly, because we are stewards. Because we are stewards. A steward is someone who cares for someone else's property. He's not free to use it as he pleases. He's only free to use it according to his master's intentions. And friends, we are just stewards. God is the owner of everything. There is no owner except for God. But he has put into your hand and into mine a certain amount that we look after for him. We own nothing. He is the owner, but he's given us things to look after for him. And we don't have the right to take out of somebody else's hand without permission. 1 Timothy 6, verse 7. We brought nothing into the world, and we will take nothing out of it. Everything we have, friends, in this life is simply on loan. It's simply on trust from God. And so stealing is wrong, very simply, because we are stewards. And it's wrong, secondly, because it shows us what we really think about God. Because it shows us what we really think about God. As Christians, many of us this evening believe that God does provide for us. God provides for us when and how and as he sees best. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. God richly provides us with everything to enjoy. And that's what we believe up here. But every time we steal, it's demonstrating a failure to trust God and to trust in his provision. It's a failure to believe that he will provide for all of our needs. Whenever we take something that does not belong to us, we're denying that God is able to provide for us in everything that we need. The thief finds fault with what God has given him. The thief accuses God of being unjust or unloving. God hasn't chosen to give me this, but I'm going to take it and steal it for myself. And so stealing, in a way, is an expression of disbelief. It's lack of trust. It's an offence to our generous God. Stealing is wrong. It's wrong because we are just stewards and because it shows us what we really think about God. And secondly, and I trust this will challenge us this evening. Secondly, stealing is easy. Stealing is easy. Stealers come in all shapes and sizes. There are several ways that we can steal. I want to mention three easy ways we can steal. One is theft. Theft. The burglar who breaks into your house and takes your TV is stealing. The shoplifter is stealing. The pickpocket is stealing. Some people steal a few pennies. Some steal millions of pounds. According to UK recent statistics, £12 million of goods will be just lifted out of shops today in the UK. And tomorrow, another £12 million of goods will just be lifted out of shops. And another £12 million the next day. We pay for that other people's pickpocketing and shoplifting. And can you imagine if it were not stolen, what it would do to the economy? £12 million every day. So those are direct, obvious forms of theft. But there are some forms of theft that are viewed as quite respectable. What do you do if you get too much change in the shop? What do you do? Do you keep silent and pocket what isn't rightfully yours? That's stealing. The man or woman who thinks it's okay to take home bits and pieces from the factory or the office or the school in which they work. A pen here, a pencil there. Everybody's doing it. It's not that bad. But it's wrong. The whole world might be doing it. But God says you shall not take without permission what does not belong to you. According to that same report on shoplifting, more than a third of those thefts are carried out by shop staff themselves. More than a third carried out by the shop staff. It's such a massive problem. Companies losing millions every year through employee theft or of stock or supplies. I wonder, friends, if we went to your house right now, and just so you know, Jesus already sees your house, what would we find at your house that should actually belong right now at your workplace? You maybe know the story of the little boy who was caught stealing at school. He stole some pencils, and his daddy brought him home and said, "Son, why in the world did you do that? That's stealing. I can just bring you some pencils from my work." That's still stealing. People thieve from their work. It's theft. People thieve from hospitals and building sites and churches and hotels. In fact, one hotel reported in its first year of business having to replace 38,000 spoons, 350 coffee pots, and 100 Bibles, simply due to theft. 38,000 spoons in a year. A word also about gambling, because gambling is a form of theft. It's basically an attempt to gain something at someone else's expense without giving adequate value in return. For one person to win what's not rightfully theirs and thousands of others losing out. Both winners and losers in gambling are breaking this commandment. If the one who gambles wins, well, he's a thief. But if he loses, he's guilty of poor stewardship, wasting that which God has given to him, whether money or property. The principle is very clear in the Bible that you work, God provides, and your needs are met. So stealing is easy. One form is theft. Another form is deceit. Deceit. The man or woman who fills in their tax form, their tax return, dishonestly. The worker who pads out and plays around with their expenses. We read in Romans 13, verse 7, "Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes." When people deceitfully don't declare all the income they've received, that's stealing. When they're deceitfully inflating or exaggerating insurance claims, that's stealing. The student who thinks it's okay to travel on public transport without buying a ticket is stealing. The employee who wastes time at work. This is a big one. the employee wasting time, checking the internet, going on Facebook, carrying out personal business, using the business phone for your own personal use, wasting time. If we're getting paid for our time, then wasting our time is stealing. It's stealing from our employer, or the worker who only works when the boss is looking. That's deceitful stealing. Listen to Colossians 3, 22 and 23. Colossians 3, verse 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. The Christian should not need supervised in their place of work. You shouldn't need to be watched to ensure that we work, friends. And then you have the employer. If you're an employer this evening and you have employees and you have agreed by contract to pay them when they do their job, your job is to pay them. And if you don't, that's stealing. Or you have the businessman who charges far too much, far more than what his goods or his services are really worth. Deceitfully stealing. Deceit, friends. So there's theft and there's deceit. Another form of stealing is debt. Debt. Romans 13, verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding. Dozens, hundreds of small businesses are ruined because people will not pay them the money they owe them, and they have to wait. And we have to plainly say that that's stealing. If you owe someone money, pay them your money. Even in our personal lives, friends, we have contracts. We have a contract with the electricity company. We shouldn't wait for the red reminder to come through the door warning us that we're going to be cut off if we don't pay the bill. That's not clever. That's dishonest. When we're asked for payment, we should pay on time. Isn't it a scandal when some Christians are known to be late payers? When some Christians are notorious for being forgetful or dishonest in their business dealings? Christian businessmen and women having a bad reputation. Surely that's a scandal to our faith. It's a shame to our Saviour. So friends, can we see stealing goes way beyond lifting a TV out of somebody's house, or a handbag, or a wallet? Stealing can take the form of respectable theft, or deceit, or even outstanding debts. Now, the world would laugh at this. Oh, you're being far too picky, far too precise. A pencil, a pen, what's a problem with that? But friends, surely we need a tender conscience. A tender conscience that we might not even take a pin or a thread that's not ours. It might seem picky to people. It may seem too precise. But we serve a precise God. And surely it's a crucial part of our witness. Stealing is easy. And it's so easy for respectable church-going people to find themselves stealing. Stealing is wrong. Stealing is easy. Thirdly, stealing from God is even easier. Stealing from God is even easier. We read from Malachi 3. This was a problem in Malachi's day. God asks, "Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings." What God is saying here is, you're robbing me. If I've put money into your hands for you to share and steward, and you keep it, that's stealing. We're supposed to give back to God with our tithes and offerings. The tithe literally means a tenth. It's 10% of your income. The Bible calls it first fruits. You give first and best to God. So a helpful thing to do, friends, when you're doing your finances is to cut off your tithe first. It's the first fruits. Rather than giving God what's left at the end of the month, it's the first bit of the month, 10%. Maybe some of you think, I can't believe God wants 10%. But friends, the Bible says everything is God's. Is it not pretty amazing that we get 90%? God could have easily asked, give me 90% and you keep 10%. He could have so easily asked that. It's actually a gracious gift that God says, just give me 10%. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 speak a lot about giving. They tell us that our giving to God should be cheerful, should be regular, should be sacrificial. And 10%, by the way, that isn't the limit. That's not the maximum. 10% is the minimum. If you like, 10% is a good floor. It's not the ceiling, it's the floor. It's a good place to start. But certainly through the course of our lives, friends, we want to do better than 10%. Now, the New Testament doesn't stipulate a percentage. But friends, how could any of us stand at the foot of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and start doing sums? How could any of us, thinking of our Saviour, start thinking of giving less to God? Now notice, God doesn't reach in and take our tithe. He asks us to give it. Just as He gives to us, God wants us to reflect Him in some way. God so loved the world that He gave His only beloved Son. And God gives out of love, and He wants us, made in the image of Him, to image Him and to return ourselves by giving out of love and generosity. But lots of Christians don't give, or they don't give very much. Lots of Christians are stingy in their giving. God's people are stealing. They're stealing. They're breaking this commandment. They're robbing God on a massive scale. You sometimes wonder why there is so little blessing in the church. Surely this is one of the reasons. The churches are filled with thieves. I wonder if any of us are guilty this evening. If that's the case, friends, we need to repent. The Bible speaks of this sin as theft, as robbery. Don't make yourself a thief. Don't rob from God. There's another kind of stealing from God. It's much more serious than financial stealing. And far more of us, I think, are guilty of this. We can rob God of our time and energy and worship and love and service. When we're lukewarm, when we're half-hearted, when we're apathetic Christians, the sort of people who
do as little as they think they can get away with. Friends, we owe everything to Him. Every atom and every ounce of energy that we have, they belong to Him. And how often we steal that for ourselves. Oh, we've no time to serve God. Don't have time to spend reading God's Word, praying. And yet we've lots of time for our work or for our pleasure. Just not so much for the work of the kingdom. Will a man rob God? That's a challenge to each of us, friends. It's not just financial here. This is personal, our time. Am I taking something for myself that really belongs to Him? Could I be doing more for God? Many of you have been given wonderful gifts from God. You're good at caring, good at encouraging. Some of you are very good at hospitality. Some of you are gifted at public speaking. Some of you have flair. Some of you have the ability to organize. Some of you are good at just taking initiative. Some of you are very accessible, easy to approach. Some of you are just spontaneous givers of friendship. Are we using those gifts for Him? If not, we're stealing. We're robbing God. And some of you may be robbing God by keeping your whole selves from Him. Not just your money or your time, but your self, your heart, your worship, your entire being. If that's the case, you're robbing God of all that you have and all that you are. You're a human being and you were created by Him to serve Him. His command to you is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. But my friend, you don't do that. And you don't recognize His authority over your life. If that's you, your whole life is robbery. And you're stealing from God. Every breath you breathe, you're stealing. Every second you live, you're stealing. Every bite you eat, you're stealing. Because you don't recognize the God who has given you these things. You don't love Him. You don't worship Him. That's stealing. Stealing from God is even easier than theft, deceit, debt. Stealing from God. Stealing is wrong. Stealing is easy. Stealing from God is even easier. What have you stolen, friends? What have you stolen? Let's look fourthly. Stealing can be cured. Stealing can be cured. I wonder if you know the term for a compulsive stealer. It's a good quiz question. Do you know the term for a compulsive stealer? They're known as kleptomaniacs. Kleptomaniacs. This has been diagnosed as an illness. Somebody who is unable to refrain from the urge to steal things. Now, all of us this evening, I hope we have recognized that we are guilty of breaking this commandment. We are all thieves. We are all stealers. But let me say this evening, you are not a kleptomaniac. You are able not to steal. You are able not to steal. If you're a Christian, you've been given the Holy Spirit. And you have the Holy Spirit in you. And the one who is in you is stronger than the one in the world. And you are able not to steal. Let's look at two steps to curing compulsive stealing. We thought about two steps curing adultery this morning. We have two steps curing stealing this evening. The first is this. We must cultivate contentment. We must cultivate contentment. In 1 Timothy 6, 6 to 8, we read, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that." If we're content, friends, we will not steal. It's as simple as that. Contentment is the great enemy of Satan. At the heart of this commandment is the requirement of us to trust in our covenant God to supply for all our needs. To recognize that the God who feeds even the birds of the air will also meet our needs. Notice the word there. He'll meet our needs. Not necessarily our wants. Not necessarily our wishes. He will meet our needs. And we must cultivate contentment with that. We must develop this attitude that Paul had. Philippians 4, 11 to 13. "I have learned to be content. I have learned to be content. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength." Cultivate contentment, friends. But then secondly, we must come to the cross. We must come to the cross. Because it's at the cross where we see the seriousness and the awfulness of stealing. Stealing stabs a dagger at the heart of the grace of God. Let's remember that on the cross, Jesus died in between two thieves. The Bible says that when he was crucified, two robbers were crucified with him. One on the right, one on the left. And remember, one of those thieves said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus gave him the answer that he gives to every lawbreaker who turns in repentance and faith. Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, you will be with me in paradise." Friends, when he died on the cross, he died in the place of thieves. He died for thieves, so that every thief who trusts in him can be saved. God's word to you this evening is stop stealing. Stop stealing from your boss. Stop stealing from your work. Stop stealing from one another. Everything you have has been given to you. You are merely a steward. So let's cultivate contentment. Let's come to the cross where there's forgiveness and cleansing and healing. And above all, friends, let us stop stealing from God. Are you stealing from God this evening? I'm convinced if the wonder of the love of Calvary truly captured our beings, if it was the great pulse beat of our existence, morning, noon and night, we would give to him the best of all that we have and all that we are. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing,
so divine, demands my life, my soul, my life, my all. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Stop stealing and start giving. Amen.